Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
With a unique blend of indie rock, ambient electronica and 80s-inspired pop, British trio Victors blur the lines between genres. Originally formed in Leeds during 2016, Harry Waterhouse, Simon Appleson and Leon Davies evolve and mature their sound with every release. Having been featured on BBC Radio 1, the UK commercial pop charts and the NFL, a worldwide fan base has continued to spread to over 180 countries and counting. After a brief hiatus following the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, the London-based band Victors is back in action, ready to unveil their latest musical creation. With the signing of a new deal with the Brighton label West Pier Recordings, Victors are set to release their highly anticipated EP, The Hotel, in 2024. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Harry, Simon, and Leon from Victors.
Where are you guys in the world and how are you all doing?
Who goes first?
You go first.
I'll go first. I'm in Leeds in the north of England. And I'm doing great, thanks. We've just had a great few days rehearsing with the boys. So, yeah, in a good mood.
Leon?
I'm literally 20 minutes down the road from Simon in Leeds. Yeah, we live quite close. And yeah, very good. You know, intense weekends. I think we did like 10, 12-hour days, just straight rehearsing. We got like 4 videos done and like a photo shoot. So yeah, it's intense, but you know, you feel good after that, don't you? So yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Harry?
Yeah, I'm in London. I live in East London. And yeah, I'm good. I'm just like the others. I'm really tired after such a really intense weekend, but it was really good weekend. I enjoyed myself, but yeah, very tired now.
Okay, so I'm going to give my interpretation of why I think you guys are called Victors, and then I'd like you to tell me if I'm correct, and if not, then tell me what the actual reason is and why you chose the name. So Victors for me is like victorious, winners. That you choosing to be winners in the game, you're going to be victorious and you're going to win to the top. And that's my interpretation of your name. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. But the thing about it is any interpretation is correct. It doesn't matter. Whatever your interpretation is correct. Although the story behind it, there's actually two stories. The original story, which I thought was the original story, was we were trying to find a single word for the longest time, but they were all taken and we just couldn't find anything. And then I think I was just watching TV one night and I saw there was a girl on this show called Toria. And I was like, that's quite a cool take on Victoria. And then that led to the thought of, wouldn't it be cool if like a band name was a female name? I was like, well, would that be quite edgy? But then the more I've sort of dwelled on that, I was like, no, it sort of comes across like you're a female solo artist and it would get confusing. So
yeah,
as I was going to bed that night, just the thought just popped in my head of Victors. And I was like, that kind of sucks, but I'll put it to the boys and, you know, see if it sticks. And everyone else was like, it's all right. But if we come up with anything else, we'll go with that. And then we never came up with anything else. So it just ended up sticking. Now I kind of like it. But then later on, I sort of had a weird epiphany. A few months before I actually met Harry, when we started the band, I dropped out of university and went traveling around America for 3 months. And I stayed at this hostel where I met loads of amazing people in San Diego. And there was this one guy in particular that I made friends with. And he was this really flamboyant, like gay, homosexual, like a Mexican dude with like full face of makeup and these crazy outfits. It was awesome. Became really good friends with him. And he became so comfortable with everyone that he decided to like show us all of his sex toys in his bedroom. And we're like, wow, okay. And he brought out his like prized big boy. And he was like, this is Victor. And I think maybe subconsciously I just sort of had that in the back of my mind. And it's somehow, I met Harry a few months later and lo and behold, the band is called Victors. So,
oh, okay. Let's go around the screen or table or room, whatever you want to call it. So, Simon, you first. At what age did you think, cool, I want to be in the entertainment world, creating music, producing, creating, performing? And how did that journey accumulate to where we are today? How did you meet the guys? We'll go to you, Simon, first, then Leon, and then Harry.
For me, it was probably about age 13, quite a late bloomer in terms of getting obsessed with music. As soon as I picked up a guitar, I had a few friends that played. My uncle plays acoustic guitar, and I just became obsessed. And then I started listening to more and more bands. I taught myself how to play. I never had a music lesson. And all I wanted to do is just be like the bands that I was listening to at the time. And I didn't make the decision then, like, I'm going to do this seriously in the future. But it was always the dream. That's when it started. And then the moment that it really hit home that I genuinely wanted to pursue it was when I went to university to do photography. And my heart just wasn't in it at all. And I was actually looking for a band at university, which was the biggest sign. So, long story short, I ended up dropping out and, finding Harry and then eventually Leon.
Leon, your turn.
I started playing drums when I was like 5 or 6. And I did it for a few months and I absolutely hated it. And I stopped playing drums. And so my dad's really into kind of like rock and blues and jazz. My mum's really into like kind of pop. My mum played piano. Dad had guitars around the house. So I always had these kind of like musical influences and they would always take me to like gigs and everything, even from like quite a young age. So like, I think the reason I hated it when I was that young was because I was too small. And if you're too small, like it's hard to play the drums really. Okay. So when I grew a bit, they were like, do you want to try it again? And I did. And I really enjoyed it. So, you know, bit of a turnaround, but so I think from like the age 8 or something like that, I've been playing drums. And then I picked up the saxophone and did a bit of guitar as well. And then I went to university in Leeds, studied music there. And then when I graduated, I just kind of, I've always enjoyed performing. And like, you know, drums is, other than when I was like 6 years old, drums is my main love. So I've just, you know, since then just been performing, you know, doing new bits in like, was it like 2016? These guys, no, 2018. These guys got in touch and they were looking for a drummer. So I like kind of stepped in, did a few shows of them and yeah, rest is history really.
Cool. Harry, your turn.
I pretty much always wanted to be in a band from the age of about 3. Like I can remember one of my next door neighbors, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I think I said, I remember saying, I want to be in a band called The Lions. So yeah, and then my dad's always played guitar. And so I just grew up learning guitar, learning piano, drums, and I've been in bands from when I was when you're young and you just play in front of the school and stuff. And then, in one of these bands that I was in sixth form. So last couple of years of school where me and the drummer then, do it rather than going to uni, wanted to try to pursue it. And then we found Simon online, I think it was, and we met him in a bar and we've been best friends ever since. We've gone through a few members and then finally met Leon.
When you create a song, whoever wants to answer, or you can all have turns, whatever feels comfortable, you call or slot in. So it's just a free flow now. So when you create a song from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, what is that creative process like? Is it easy every time? What invigorates it? Let's dive into your guys' creative brains.
It really does. Yeah, I'll jump in first. You jump in whenever you want. It really does change from song to song. Sometimes we'll have it where Simon has come to me with a complete piece of music that he's just come up with and got down on his iPad, and then me and Leon will jump in and write something. Sometimes it's in a room live and we come up with something by accident. Sometimes it takes half an hour to get them the main part of the song down and written. Sometimes it takes years. Our creative process is really quite odd and random, I find anyway.
I'm sure it is for everyone, to be honest, or a lot of people. I don't think one artist has one way all the time. Like we have a new single coming out. We wrote that in about half an hour without even planning on it. It was so spontaneous. But then with previous songs, sometimes they've taken up to 3 years to fully form an idea. We just didn't know how it came together, and it eventually just does. Just things happen in your life, and your taste sort of changes, and you just find what works for that particular idea. It's very
Yeah.
strange. You revisit old ideas that you had, just written down and put a pin in it, and then you think, ah, there's a section of that that works with this new idea that will come in. Then before you know it, you've got a whole new idea. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. And usually like Harry or Simon kind of comes up with like a little idea, and then we all kind of like have, some input on it, and then Simon writes the drum part. I change the whole drum part. And then yeah, it's just kind of
Then I
like we
change them
all
back.
Then we argue and Harry comes in. No, but like, I mean, we always go into the studio with like a whole song written, and then we'll kind of, whenever we're recording it, we're like, oh, we could do this and this. And then even when we've got a full like finished song and we go into the studio, we always add bits and change things. And like, I think when you hear it like fully coming together and being produced on the spot, you're a bit like, oh, actually, I'm gonna change this section and stuff. So we've always had, yeah, kind of like last minute tweaks and stuff. And but yeah, it just varies massively.
So, I don't know
so
about
when
you guys, but I get inspiration from like the weirdest things. Like, I bought a pair of new shoes, and then I immediately wrote a song idea from that. I don't even know how it happened. It's really
when a song is taking a period of time, like you mentioned, 3 years. Is there ever a point where you just completely throw it out? I know it gets frustrating because it's like, but has there any point of time where you've thrown things out completely because it's taken too long, or you just let it sit?
I think it would be a bit of a waste to just throw something out completely.
Okay.
We usually bank everything because, like we said before, like you can scroll through some old demos and stuff, and you come across something that you're now listening to with different ears, if that makes sense, like from a different perspective. So I think it'd be silly to throw anything away completely. You might hate it, but always just put it away and come back to it at some point, maybe, or not. But as long as it's there.
I think for our last EP, three, we're having trouble with one of the tracks, and then we decided to scrap it, and we were just going through, the bank of old demos, and I stumbled on this old one of Simon's, and then I was like, oh, this is really good. We should just like tweak this section and, and then basically just throw some lyrics onto it. And then we came up with the end track, I'll Love Myself. And that didn't take long at all. That was like 45 minutes. And that had been sitting there for a few years, kind of gathering dust. But actually, it just needed like maybe like a fresh pair of ears, or like some time to forget about it. And then you kind of become more creative on that old idea when you haven't been sitting there grafting at it for ages.
I'm not sure if you guys are aware of NLP. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. So just some background. So we are dominant in one, secondary in another, and tertiary in another. What dominant means is we'll be in it for the majority of the day. Secondary may be in it for an hour, 2 hours. Tertiary may be half an hour, if at all. Now, the three processes of information are visual. So people create pictures when they are receiving information. The second one is auditory. What that means is they hear the words, hear the sentences, and it's all about the words and communication through the words. The third one is kinesthetic, which is the emotion, the energy, the body language, and the feeling. Now, specifically around music, it might change in other circumstances. You might go into a different area in other areas of your life or when you're doing other things. But specifically around music, so I'm going to go again around the room. So, Leon, when you hear songs, your own songs or songs by other artists, do you create a picture when you hear it? Are you hearing the words, or is it about the energy and the emotion?
I'd say for me, it's definitely mostly the energy and the emotion with the words, like not at all really. Like, I mean, I've always kind of struggled to like pick up on the lyrics. I'm always focused on like the rhythm of the song and how that kind of like interlinks with all the sections and like, how it kind of all makes you feel. And yes, I do pay attention to the lyrics, but for me, no, it's kind of like, yeah, that's not the forefront. It's definitely like, just the emotion, and then like how that song the movement of it and everything like that, and how it all kind of interconnects, like the different rhythmic parts and everything.
Simon?
I'm similar to you, Leon. Yeah, the lyrics is the last thing I listen to. I just immediately get the emotion and the vibe first. And I always just like analyze everything musically because I'm just a dork like that. And but then I quite enjoy coming back to those songs and listening to the actual lyrics and getting the context of the song, because you sort of listen to a song twice in that way. There's a song I've been listening to a lot at the moment by Samara Joy. It's called Guess Who I Saw Today. And it's this really lovely, like chilled out, like a jazz lounge ballad. And as soon as you put it on, the vibe is just so nice and lovely. And then I was just actually decided to listen to the lyrics, and it paints a completely different picture. And it was a whole new experience, which I really, really loved. But yeah, I definitely just go by emotion. They could be singing about anything, but if the emotion is there, you sort of project your own emotions onto it in a way.
Harry?
I'd be the same with the energy and the vibe, especially for when I'm writing as well. So like, when I hear something that Simon's maybe just playing with, I'll get the emotion and the energy from that. But as I write like 90% of the lyrics for Victor's, I can't help but when I'm listening to music to listen to what they're saying, because I am like the storyteller of the band,
yes,
like with the lyrics. So like, yeah, I would say initially it's the energy and vibe of a song, but it comes for me, it comes hand in hand with what they're actually saying, and if the story, or if it's actually just wordplay or whatever. But yeah, yeah. They go hand in hand for me personally.
And okay, so what's next? I know you've got a new single or out in this current time. So what's happening in the near and distance future?
Who wants to go?
Simon,
you spoke first. Yeah, Simon's up.
Fair enough. So yeah, we have a new single coming out. It's called Nothing Seems to Matter Now. And that is part of a EP, which will be coming out.
The full thing's out in May.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So we have two singles and then the EP release. And then hopefully just going to be playing loads of shows as much as we can.
Okay. So going around the table again, this time Harry first. Harry, what do you enjoy about performing live?
Well, one of the main things that just sprang to mind then was literally performing as a group. I know it sounds quite obvious, but like when you have those moments, and I'm sure the other two do as well, where often during a show, you can get quite caught up in you're just concentrating on what you're doing and to the best of your ability.
Mm.
And often gigs can just like half on and it feels like you've been on stage for like 2 minutes. It like goes so fast. But I often have like these little moments where if you stand back and you're creating this noise with two other people and it's all come together perfectly. And then just that vibe that's created from live music is just like no other. And it's just like, I don't, it's very hard to put into words, but I feel like just this like yeah, coming together with a group of people and just making this noise together that is then moving other people of you, yeah, has got to be my favorite part of it.
Simon?
Yeah, exactly what Harry said. Although it sort of gets ruined when he decides to throw his empty bottle of water at my head at the end of the set.
I think that was me.
It was you as well?
Oh, I think we both did it.
Great. I'm going to start doing it. I don't have water on stage, so I can't even give it back. But yeah, there's exactly what you said, Harry. And also, for me personally, I sometimes get a lot of like social anxiety with groups of people. But when you're on stage, you sort of, it's almost like a different persona. It's a very strange feeling.
Mm, yeah.
Like,
I've heard that before, yes, yeah.
Yeah, you sort of like hide behind, not hide, that's probably the wrong word. I don't know. I don't want to say like you feel like a god up there.
No. Yeah.
you just feel like this, like, I don't know, elated version of yourself that you just like, you worked hard, you're proud of yourself, and it's like you're connecting with all these people. Like, you spend a lot of time working on music, like alone with your emotions and like frustrations with creativity or rehearsals if it's not quite coming together, and all the stuff that goes with, you know, trying to be a musician and an artist. Like, the performance is the tip of the iceberg of everything you have to deal with, good and bad. So it's just this weird euphoric feeling that it's like, this is why we do it. When you see people like shouting back the lyrics that we've written and dancing around, and there's no feeling like it. Like, I can't believe this little idea that I came up with in my bedroom. Like, all this room full of people are just absolutely going mad for it. It's the best feeling ever. It's brilliant.
I was saying that was what I was trying to get across, but badly, like that sense of.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
Leon, anything to add?
I mean, yeah, they've kind of taken all the good points, really. Like, it's amazing to just go from like a rehearsal room where you're kind of like, you're sat around, we're like all playing these songs and we're like, this sounds pretty good. And then you do it in front of like a few hundred people. And then when they scream it back at you and you're like, oh yeah, no, this really does sound pretty good. I will say that like one kind of weird part of a show that I always really like is the like 3 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes right before that first note, because all of a sudden you're kind of like, ah, we've worked hard, you know, we've played these songs a couple of hundred times and like nothing's going to go wrong and like all this kind of stuff. But then, you know, even in a dark venue and you can see loads of people, like, you just get that kind of like, it's not nerves, but it is kind of nerves. It's like little adrenaline rush when you're about to go out on stage. And then, I mean, usually I'm the first one to walk out as well. So up till this point, they've not seen anyone. And then I walk out and like everyone screams at you and I'm just there like, ah, I just want to sit behind my drums. And then like, you know, you kind of get this like anticipation, it is really like this huge build up. And then as soon as I hit that first note, I'm like, oh, this is going to be sick. But that build up for me, I love it. It's such a weird part to enjoy as well.
Leon's first gig with us was in front of 20,000 people.
Oh, wow.
So imagine those 3 minutes at that gig. It must have been that on steroids.
Oh yes, yeah. That was a moment, man. And like being the first one to walk out, and like, what do you do when that many people just start screaming at you? I was a bit like, okay.
I haven't thought of this before, but I've got an interesting question for you specifically, Leon. Being the drummer, do you find being behind that set of equipment, if you want to call it that, you're somehow a little bit more protected than the other people in the band because you've got that, I don't want to call it a wall, but that sort of barrier in inverted commas, where the other guys have just got, you know, the microphone, the guitar, whatever, which much less protecting them in inverted commas from the crowd or the anticipation or whatever. Am I correct in my understanding as a person experiencing that or not at all?
Yeah, I think so. I would say that, like, obviously when I get behind the kit, there's an element where I can kind of like, just as we're about, before we're about to start, I have, you know, I have to like plug in my like in-ears, you know, kind of make sure the like drum pad is set to the right thing. Like, because I also run all the kind of like backing tracks off a laptop. I have to like, just there's like final checks, like making sure everything's in its right place, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But I will say that, like, despite having all of this kind of equipment to hide behind, I will probably be the one where it's like most obvious if you make a mistake, because it's such a visual kind of instrument, you know, like unless you know how to play guitar and you can look at the guitarist and be like, oh, he's just played the wrong chord, if you catch that moment. But if I, you know, say I drop a stick or it like kind of breaks in half or something like that, everyone's going to know about it real quick. So I guess, yeah, I think because it is such a big, you know, like drum kits aren't exactly small and it's a lot of like movement. There's maybe more to go wrong and more obvious when it does go wrong.
Okay.
So there's that kind of element, but I don't know. I think by now I'm just probably so used to it all that it's just kind of, it just happens now.
We also rearranged our stage setup though, so Leon isn't, you know, tucked away at the back behind the singer, because we're just a three piece, so it's all three of us in a line on the stage, so you can see all three of us, because it's not like the singer is the most important person. Yes. You're not Harry, all right? it's all three of us as a unit, and we're all in a line, and we can all see each other. And yeah, Leon isn't hidden away at the back. I like it that way.
Okay, so now I love this game. Going around the room again. I know if I had to ask you each of this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. The simple fact, there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. A couple of you will have a chance to think, and just rattling off, it doesn't necessarily have to be songs, maybe artists, but Leon first, if you had to push play to five songs by artists, other artists, whether it's you list the songs' names as well or just the artists, what would those five songs be, or artists?
I'm really bad with names, so it's going to be artists, but I would definitely go for a mixture of I really like electronic music, so I'd go for like Fortet or James Blake. And then there's a saxophonist called Bob Reynolds. He's done an amazing album called Guitar Band. And they've also done like, it's all, like they've done live versions on YouTube. So I'd probably like watch the whole thing on YouTube. Three out of five. Who else? I guess you can never really go wrong with some kind of like, just like Foo Fighters. If you're in the mood for, you know, some kind of like rock like that, they're always my go-to, really. Especially with Dave Grohl, like he was such an amazing drummer in Nirvana, and like as a frontman for Foo Fighters, he's so good. And then for a fifth one, maybe some like just Jay Dilla or something like that, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I'll go for that.
Simon, your turn.
It's a tough question, isn't it? At the moment, I'm listening to a lot of Leve. She's like, she's blown up at the moment. She's like a mid-century pop jazz singer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's got so many good tunes. My favorite is called Above the Chinese Restaurant from her first album. I'm absolutely caning the Sacred Souls at the moment. They're so good. Easier Said Than Done is my favorite tune at the moment by them. Two out of five. Jungle's new album. It's just absolutely popping off. Everyone's loving it. So good. Really good vibes. It's like giving us a lot of inspiration as well with our writing. Oh man, who else? This is really hard. I'm like trying to sneak a look at my Spotify playlist right now.
Come on, I didn't have a sneaky look.
Yeah, you went first, that's fair. There's a band that's just blowing up at the moment called CMAT, CMAT.
Yeah.
They've got a tune called Stay for Something. Mm. And I don't know why, it just resonated with me. It was a really, really good tune. I love the vibe. And finally, I've been listening to a lot of Jacob Collier as well.
Okay.
Incredibly, incredibly talented musician. He's like Jesus of musicians. His knowledge and ability is just unmatched. He's like a prodigy. He's got a new song out at the moment called, I think it's called Little Blue, I believe. And it's just absolutely stunning song. So beautifully written. I don't know if that's four or five, but I've lost count.
Harry, you're five?
Yeah, I got the longest to think about this. So this is easy. I'd have to press play on the whole of Counting Crows' first album, August and Everything After. I have it tattooed on my arm. I was brought up listening to it. So it really it takes me back to my mum and my dad and my family and stuff, so that's lovely. Same with Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over, one of the best songs ever written on the planet. Don't care what anybody else thinks. And then Frank Ocean, I went through a phase, not so much anymore, but went through a phase of that he was literally all retelling, self-control, Frank Ocean. Also, me and Simon did a cover of that. So yeah, it has many meanings, that song. I've been listening to a lot of an Australian band called Paper Kites. It was very much acoustic, like sort of sort of folky vibes. And that they, yeah, so I've been listening to a lot of them. So, and also trying to write a little bit more like that. We're sort of in the middle of writing like an album or the idea of an album, and we be a bit sort of eclectic. So, yeah, they're very the folk vibe that I'm into at the moment. So, Paper Kites, and what's that? Is that four?
Yeah,
I think that's four. Yes. Let's go with David Gray, his first album, White Ladder.
Okay,
that is unmatched in my opinion.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.